He doesn't know how hard it is to raise a maniac kid who just runs around and breaks stuff and doesn't listen. Why should I sit and listen to this guy?
Family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Tonight, we have with us special guest Jeremy Nunes, the unbelievable, incontrovertible best ever. Is that too much?
Hey, Scott, how's it going?
Fantastic. How are you, Jeremy?
You know what? I am I'm doing pretty good. So I'm going to ask you right off the top here, Scott. So I regularly call into a Christian talk radio station in Detroit, and I call myself the official, unofficial comedian of the radio show. And I feel like I might just be the official, unofficial comedian of the Family Man Show.
Oh, absolutely. And you can just make it official now. I have the power to declare that. So you're the official Family Man comedian.
Sure.
I love it. You can add that to your signature on your email too, because I noticed it says you've got your book, You Can't Write City Hall, which we talked about last time you were on when you had run for City Hall or for mayor, I think it was, and won. But didn't you run as a joke kind of?
Yeah, so my my campaign slogan was put a real joker in office, because I thought, who would vote for that person? 80% of the town.
That's awesome. And you've got a stand-up special on Amazon now?
Yeah, Who's With Me is on Amazon. It's also on Christian Cinema. I know some people don't want to give their money to Amazon, so you go to Christian Cinema and watch it there as well. Yeah, it's called Who's With Me, or you can search for just my name, Jeremy Nunes. Yeah, and then the book about me being mayor, like you mentioned, You Can't Write City Hall. And I am a dad for free, all of that.
Awesome. And now the official Family Man comedian.
Yeah.
Well, Todd can't complain. He gave us too much power. This should be a reminder to Todd just not to go out of town anymore. It's things just dissolve into chaos here.
So let's make this show about, I've got plenty of gambling tips for the people. So what are we talking about, Scott?
You said you had a whole bunch of stuff to talk about here. Your wife has been in and out of the hospital for the past few weeks. That doesn't sound good.
Okay.
We're going to start with the heavy stuff here.
So here's how we start. So I have a son who is 8, who just turned 8, daughter who just turned 4. Okay. So my son plays outside. We got a little girl lives next door who plays at our house all the time outside in the yard. And she comes Sunday evening screaming at the door, help, I'm bleeding. And sure enough, she's got blood pouring off the top of her head. She's been playing with my son. So I bring her in. My wife gets her all cleaned up and we figure out my son thought it'd be fun to throw rocks at her.
Oh,
so he pelted her in the top of the head. And so she got a nice little gash. And that was the start of our week. And let me tell you, Scott, that was the best thing that happened that week. It was terrible.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Heads bleed a lot too.
Right. So I was much more concerned. My wife was much calmer. She ran a daycare for years and years. And as you might imagine, heads seen plenty of head wounds. Mm-hmm. And she said she knew right away it was not nearly as bad as it looked because they just bleed so much. And yeah, sure enough, it was just a kind of a small laceration as well. So, you know, we walk my son and little girl over to the neighbor's house to tell the mom what happened. And the little girl was pretty mad at him. But the mom, I don't know the parents that well, but the mom said, you know what? What would Jesus say? And, you know, little girl said, he would forgive him. And so, okay, maybe we need to forgive. Okay. So then,
wow,
let's. Yeah. So I was very happy because I thought she was going to yell at me or something.
Yeah. She's like, well, let me call my lawyer on my phone. Yeah.
This guy's got that best-selling book money. So then I've kind of parlayed my mayor stuff into some municipal consulting. Okay. So I'm at a city hall down the road from me, and my wife calls me 1 o'clock and says, "You got to come home. My stomach hurts so bad. I think I go to the doctor. You're going to have to take me to the hospital." And I'm like, "Well, I'm kind of in the middle of the thing. I can't really leave. If it's that bad, just get an ambulance and I'll be there when I can." She, I'll wait. Okay. So 2 hours go by. I pick her up, go to the hospital, and you know, the emergency care planning in Springfield, Illinois, not exactly the best, Scott. And so we sit there about, I'd say, 4 hours before we see a doctor.
Oh, man.
And so then that leads to numerous tests. They figure out, oh, it's her gallbladder. We're going to have to take her gallbladder out. We don't have a surgery team available. She's going to have to stay the night in the hospital. And Tuesday, then, we are going to take the gallbladder out. So Tuesday happens to be my son's birthday. So get the gallbladder out, do the surgery, everything goes well. So then she's pushing to get out of there. All things considered, she's doing just fine. So they do let her get home on her birthday. We get home about 9 p.m. Tuesday, wake my son up to give him ice cream and cake. And you might imagine how that went. So now he's bouncing off the walls, finally get him to sleep. Now we're to Wednesday. She's just to rest and relax. Calls me back at City Hall, says, "I feel terrible. I got to go back to the hospital." And so we call the hospital. They're like, "Yep, she's got to come in." So knowing that we're going to have to wait 4 hours unless we write an ambulance, she decides on her own, she's going to call the ambulance so we can pay out of pocket for a non-emergency ambulance ride.
Oh, so this just gets better.
It gets better. So she takes the ambulance back to the hospital. They admit her. They can't figure out what's going on. Every test seems normal. So we get to Friday. So now she's in the hospital for 3 days and they run every test they can think of. They can't figure out what's wrong. And so essentially they send her home and they say, you know, she's gonna be mad. I tell people it's constipation. That's what they say, except it wasn't. All right.
So,
okay. So I was trying to be as clean as possible here.
I understand.
So I'm trying to fast forward here. Now we get to the point, they send her home, nothing else we could do. She's home for about 4 days. And then again, the pain hits her all at once again. Oh, something's wrong. Yeah. So she decides she's going to take another non-emergency ambulance ride straight back to the hospital. So off she goes again.
You're just writing and checks left and right.
I'm just seeing, boy, how many jokes am I going to have to tell to pay this thing off? So off she goes again. And of course, we live in a small town outside of Springfield. So you can imagine every neighbor's popping their head out the window trying to figure out what's going on. And they admit her again. Geez, we don't know what's wrong. Every test they take, still nothing. So as you might do as a loving husband, Scott, I do a simple Google search. What sort of pain is related to post gallbladder surgery? And so I start pitching stuff. And one of the ladies at our church says, "This exact same thing happened to my sister, and she had a bile leak. It didn't heal properly, and no one believed her, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. It was a bile leak." So immediately I say, "Hey, did you check, see if it's a bile leak?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, we checked that. That's not what it is." Okay. So I pitch everything else. I say, no. And I say again, "Are you sure it's not?" "Oh, we checked. It's not a bile leak." Okay. So now she's in the hospital another 7 days. So as you might imagine, Scott, wow. So at this point I am still consulting, doing my city hall work. I am touring on the weekends. I am now running the homestead on my own and totally exhausted.
I'm sure she's having a great time in the hospital too.
Yeah.
7 days and no diagnosis yet.
Correct. And so awesome. I tell her, and I apologize if people haven't caught up to this yet. I'm trying to get to the end, fellas, I promise. So we get to the point now that it's now 2 days before my daughter's birthday and it's a Sunday. And so I'm up there with her on a Sunday and I say, "I'm exhausted." On that Monday, I had a show in the middle of Iowa, roughly a 5-hour drive from where I live. So So I get home late at night, every night from the hospital. Luckily, my, you know, either my mom or my wife's mom was able to stay with the kids, get them to bed and stuff. So get home late. I wake up in the morning. I get them off to school. Then I drive off, do my own work at the, you know, city hall, whatnot, back to the hospital, get home late, do it all over again. So on Sunday, we never do anything on Sunday. I heard a sermon on the road one time at a church in Effingham, Illinois, and it was just about how you don't do anything at all on Sundays. And we take that philosophy. So now cut to Sunday. I'm not doing anything. I'm resting because I know I have this huge round trip to Iowa on Monday, and I'm going to get home at like 1 a.m. late Monday night because I got to be home to wake up for my daughter's birthday because her mom's not going to be there. At least I can be there. So instead of staying the night in Iowa, I plan to make this late drive after I'm already exhausted. So before this happens, the doctors say, oh, we're going to do an emergency surgery. We figured out it's a bile leak. I'm like, no kidding. I told you. And they're like, yeah, we found some stuff.
Would this be a good time to tell you that when my wife had her gallbladder out afterwards, she read about it and found out that it's like the most complicated surgery that exists?
I know. And they told it, oh, it's very routine. Yeah. Nothing goes it's wrong not. Ever. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so let's pull back a day. So that Saturday night, she calls me at home and says, hey, they're about to do an emergency surgery on me now. And I can't even get to the hospital in time for that surgery. And so she asked that doctor, hey, does this still mean I'm going to do the Sunday surgery for the bio leak? And the doctor says, what surgery?
Inspires so, confidence.
Yes. yes. So then they call, they say, the surgeon who's got to do the Sunday morning thing lives 2 hours away. He's the closest surgeon that does this specialty surgery. And they say, it's going to be at 6 a.m. And I'm like, I hope this guy's all right, because he's going to have to get up at like 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, is this guy even going to be awake for the surgery? I don't need a, like a zombie doctor walking through this thing. So, and I'm like, you know what? I'll just stay home. My wife says, stay home, sleep, rest. It's a Sunday. You don't get up way early and then get up way early again and do the drive on Monday. And I'm kind of feeling guilty about it, but I decide I'm going to stay home. And then we're very blessed, Scott, numerous ladies at our church keep helping out. And they're bringing us food. They're offering to babysit or whatever. And one of the ladies who I know you're a football fan, she is the mother of Daniel Helm, who is a tight end who's bounced around a few teams in the NFL. And he goes to our church. Very large man, makes me very, very nervous. And I'm 6'7". So, but anyway, so she says, hey, I'll come to the house. I'll be there 5:30 in the morning. I'll watch the kids. I'll get the kids to church and, you know, we can put them in the childcare at church and then you can come by after. Okay. So I go, that surgery goes well. And then following that, I asked my wife, I said, hey, you know, our daughter's birthday's in 2 days. I'm not going to be home tomorrow at all. Did you buy her any birthday gifts? And she says, yeah, I bought her that giant, it's a 4-foot by 5-foot dollhouse that she can climb through, and it's not put together.
Didn't see that
so,
one coming.
Yeah. So now my Sunday, which I was going to do nothing, now I got to have a different lady from church pull the kids away so I can spend 5 hours putting together this dollhouse. But I'm trying to be a good dad, so then I hide it in the basement. Make the round trip to Iowa Monday, and then Tuesday morning, wake up feeling like a total zombie. But I did it, Scott, because I'm the dad.
That's right. And I was just going to say, you get the You to Dad Award this week, man. Holy mackerel.
Yeah. And then I wasn't about to, and some people may say, well, why didn't you just cancel that show in Iowa? Well, that's my income, first of all. And as I say, you start canceling shows, you get a reputation for canceling shows, you're not going to get many more. But we had people to watch the kids. And like I said, we're very fortunate between my mom and mother-in-law and the ladies at church who helped out significantly. And I was totally exhausted. So right now, Scott, I'm just ready to sleep.
Wow. Well, thanks for coming on the show tonight. That's it. We're done. Go get some sleep. Wow.
Yeah, I figure if I could get like a pallet of Family Man calendars. And then I'm just going to sell them all at my shows. And
I'll, I will use my considerable clout to see what I can get for you. It might not be a whole lot, but we'll see. Wow, that's a week.
That's the story, and I knew that was going to take a good chunk of the podcast time. So sorry for everyone that was like, hey, what? I wonder what they're going to talk about besides Jeremy's wife. That was it.
That was great. Wow. That's give your wife our best, man. That is a rough week, dude. Is she doing okay now? You getting there?
Yeah, she's turning the corner. She's telling me what to do again. So she's getting there.
That's good.
Yep. You know, the hard part for her is they're telling her, you know, she's still got to take it easy. She can't do stuff. But, you know, she's kind of noticing the house looks like a tornado hit it, you know. So she's trying to get up and move around and take care of all that stuff. But as long as we can keep her rested, we'll be in good shape. And otherwise, she's doing all right. I told her the laundry's not going to wash itself.
That's a good loving husband there. Honey, you're home from the hospital. Can you do some laundry now? I love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I've been having to do the laundry, and we got a lot of pink socks now. But hey, it's I tell my son, it's fine. Nobody's going to make fun of you. And I knew they would. But anyway, so there you have it. So that was like my past 3 weeks. That's what's happened.
I'm tired just listening to you, man. That's a lot.
You know, I used to tour with an old road dog comedian who kind of took me under his wing many years ago. And I think some famous people have said it over the years too, but boy, he used to just, so I was, you know, the guy that, the young single guy in my 20s, and he was pushing 70 at the time. And, you know, he was widowed and I was never married at the time. And boy, he just partied and partied and partied. And I was the guy, you know, go back early and just wiped out and just lay down and sleep and stuff. And he'd always go, why do you do that? And I said, well, I'm tired. I get some sleep. And he'd always say, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Yeah. I'm speechless. I can't think of anything else to say now.
Yeah.
Todd usually has these great little lessons and, you know, wraps it all up nicely, but I'm just sort of along for the ride here. And
yeah. Well, Scott, so you know what? And I'll tell you, here's why this show helps me so much is to know that we all deal with these things and we all have these stresses and it's not easy. So I'll tell you how I came across Todd, how I met him. I was doing a show at a church in St. Louis. And they said, it's a men's gathering and we'll have you do stand up. And then we've got a guy who does like a ministry for dads and he's going to talk later. And so I was kind of debating, do I stay for this guy or do I just drive home? Cause it's going to be kind of a late drive if I stay here, this guy. And you know, I was thinking to myself and probably what a lot of people thought before they, you know, crossed paths with you and Todd is I just thought to myself, he doesn't know how hard it is to raise a maniac kid who just runs around and breaks stuff and doesn't listen. Why should I sit and listen to this guy who's going to tell me what I need to do? He has no idea. But I thought, well, I'll sit in the back of the room and I'll just listen. And then if it's dumb, I'll sneak out and go. And boy, he caught me. Yeah. And I thought, man, boy, this guy gets it. And, you tell he touched a lot of people, not just me. And then, you know, I kind of start talking to him afterward. And he's like, yeah, I have a podcast. And I was like, really? He said, yeah. He said, I got a guy, sounds like Eeyore. He's my.
He did not say that.
He didn't know. He didn't. But, yeah. So I said, yeah, I'll stay in touch and I'll listen and maybe we'll cross paths again. And then, you know, sure enough, I believe I've listened to every single podcast since, to be honest with you. Wow. So, yeah, that's how it all happened. One little chance meeting, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, probably something like that.
Very cool. So how long have you been married now?
I am approaching year 10. We're at about 9.5 years at the moment.
All right. And your kids are, what you said it already.
Yeah. So my son is 8 and my daughter is 4. So when I crossed paths with Todd, I only had the son and he was maybe 2 or 3 years old at the time, but just a little maniac of a kid. And so here's a topic I would like to bring up, Scott, an issue I have. You know, they tell us you shouldn't have a favorite kid, but you kind of do, right? Okay. So, yeah. So you know, my wife tells me, you got to watch yourself. So my son, like I said, love him dearly, but he's just crazy. He's full of energy, runs around. He's got more energy than any other kid. They just had him play full court basketball on his basketball team for 2 hours. He's the only kid that didn't need a break. He played full court basketball for 2 hours. Wow. But he's always, he needs a lot of attention, you know. And then our little girl, she'll just play in the corner by herself half the time. We forget she's even in the house, you know. And so you tell her to do something, she does it. If she sees a piece of garbage on the floor, she'll pick it up and go, oh, somebody missed the garbage can, and take it and put it in the garbage can. So it's hard to not be drawn to that one when he causes the issues. And I'll, as you guys mentioned, we all blow it sometimes. And so I'll yell at him, and I get angry. I go from 0 to 10 very quickly with him. Whereas my daughter, I don't know if I've even raised my voice at her ever. And, and so my wife says, you really got to watch, because he's noticing that.
It's amazing. You just reminded me, my wife had a memory on Facebook that popped up, and this just sums up our kids perfectly. She says, this was back from 2012. She said, wow, there really is something to the birth order thing. First kid, when she didn't want to go to bed, just made a sad face, and I told her a story and held her until she was asleep. Second kid jumped out of his bed at 22 months when he didn't want to go to bed. And I'll elaborate on that. He literally climbed out of his crib, flipped over, landed flat on his back on the floor, screaming Ooh. Bloody murder. We put him back in the crib thinking, surely he won't do that again. 10 seconds later, wham, he's right back out of the crib. Like, I guess we're done with the crib. So that's the second kid. And then she says, third kid just went to bed. Fourth kid has an entire arsenal. She has figured out every single appeal that has potential to work for every single person in the house. I went through the bedtime routine, and she is fine and just needs to go to sleep. But she is resorting to alternately calling out, boys, you're my best friend. Come here, boys. And crying while yelling, mommy, I love you.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you, she knows how to tug at the old heartstrings. Anyway, that's what our family life was like 10 years ago.
Sure. Yeah.
And it just gets crazier.
Yeah. That's what everybody says. Well, wait till they get into high school. The girl will be all the stress you deal with. The boy will be fine.
See, I'm loving it now. It's my wife that I got to deal with. She won't like me telling you this, so don't tell anybody. She's, you know, we have my daughter that got married, and then my son just went off to college, and they're doing great and thriving as adults. And I'm like, you know what? I can kick back a little bit. I got half as many kids to deal with most of the time, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like pre-empty nest. She's just already like, I want to see them. I miss them. And I'm like, honey, we had them for all these years. Get over it. But that doesn't work very well. So don't say that to your wife.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Absolutely. I tell her she needs to rest up. And when she's got energy, cook me dinner. And so, but yeah, so things have turned the corner there. And, you know, so I'm trying to better myself and listen to this show and subscribe to the emails and that sort of stuff. And so it's helping, you know, it's a little tougher for me too, cause I'm gone all the time doing shows and whatnot, but, we'll see what the future brings. For now, I'm trying to pull back on that. Cause you know, I think, you know, I talked to you, I feel like I talked to you guys. I don't know if I've been on as the unofficial comedian, you know, last November I got COVID really bad.
Ooh.
I was intubated.
I think I heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We prayed for you. And I think,
thank you. Yeah. You think, yeah. And, so I was intubated, given a 30% chance to live, and, we had everybody praying for me and pulled through, and by the grace of God, you know, and one of the lessons I took from that is, man, I'm spending too much time away from my family. Cause I thought, man, if I would have died, my kids wouldn't even remember me. They're too little. And, you know, I don't get enough time with them as it is because I'm gone so much. So one of the things I did, you know, got an offer to do a national news comedy show, and the money just wasn't enough for the time I'd take away from my kids. So all my comedian friends could not believe that they, you know, like, you worked for 20 years as a comedian to get a TV show and you turn it down. It's like, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a good dad.
Yeah, I guess. And then, you know, I did media interviews about every day. And then now I do maybe one a month. And I have my own podcast and I don't even do it anymore. Just trying to cut back on all that. And then I raised my fee to basically instead of being gone 3 days, I could be gone 2 days and make the same amount of money. So I had made all these changes, and sure enough, I've raised my price, and everyone keeps hiring me. So now I'm spending just as much time away from the family. So I don't know what to do now, Scott. But
well, I suppose that's at least a half decent problem to have.
Yeah. Should we call Todd on his vacation? just
he would appreciate that. I'm sure he would just click ignore and enjoying himself on the beach. But it looks like we're starting to run out of time, so that's good. I was afraid I was going to launch into the gallbladder surgery story that I have that I'll tell you off the air because it's not a fun one.
Okay.
So, Jeremy, thank you so much for sharing and letting us know how it's going. Man, keep making those good choices for your family. God will honor that. You know why? Because you did, Dad.
That's right, Scott. And if nothing else, you can always read to your own children, everyone that's listening to this, and a great book to read them is You Can't Write City Hall.
There you go. And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week. Stay